Heavenly Father, we are grateful for this day where we can just cease from our work, gather together as your people, and sit at your feet and be fed by your word and through your supper. And we pray that as we look at this wonderful passage today, that it would encourage each and every one of us to be those who bring a little heaven to earth every time we step out our doors. For in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Please be seated. If any of us recently have gathered here this morning and have felt rejected, maybe you applied for a job and you didn't get it, you've proposed or you just tried to break into some social circle and you've been rejected or worse, ignored, or maybe perhaps you're just dogged by failure, this passage has something for you. Or maybe you've had a bit of considerable success on the outside. You're healthy, you're wealthy, but in other areas of your lives, areas that aren't as public, you're facing humiliating defeat, or at the very least, some confusion as to what to do next. This passage has something for you. Or maybe you've been falsely accused lately. Somebody has criticized you in an unfair way, and you're ready to come out swinging. But you have this funny feeling on the one hand, maybe I deserve this. God has something to say to you as well. All of you have a need, and ultimately all of us have a need for two advocate helpers. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, an advocate helper. For in this passage, Jesus Christ gives that title to the Holy Spirit, who's about to ascend upon them with a certain name. Now, you open up a Bible, and in the ACNA, most of the Anglican churches use the ESV, the English Standard Version. I am warmly attached to this translation, because my Old Testament professor, Paul House, was on the Old Testament team. He wasn't on the New Testament team. And if you look at the word that's translated helper in other Bibles, you might get helper, encourager, comforter, counselor, advocate. So what do we call it? Well, when you know that happens, the English just can't handle the weight of the original language. And so, since N.T. Wright called it helper, I'm going to call it helper too, but I'm going to do an addendum, because I think to get to the heart of the word is the word advocate, because the Latin translation was advocare, where we get the word advocate. And if you keep reading down in this chapter, Jesus says in verse 27, "Peace I leave to you, my own peace I give to you." See, if you have this helper advocate, you'll have tremendous peace. And if you want to know what that peace is, and who doesn't want to know what that peace is, you have to understand what the Holy Spirit has come to do. So, I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to John 14, because this text prompts us to ask three questions. What is an advocate helper, a helper advocate? Two, who's the first helper advocate, and who's the second advocate helper? That's what we're asking here today. So first, what is a helper advocate? This word is translated from the Greek word paraclete. It's so-called. You have in this word para, which means to come alongside, to be alongside. Somebody who doesn't go in front of you and say, come on, get with it. Doesn't stand beside you and say, get going. No, this person comes alongside you and is with you. Para. And kaleo means to speak a message, to speak truth, to speak for the person. Like I said, in the Latin translation, it was advocare. That means ad means to alongside, vocare means to speak, which we get the word vocal from. An advocate simply is someone who comes alongside of you, who is for you, and fearlessly speaks the truth on your behalf. An advocate is someone who comes to you and says, what do we have to do? Someone who takes a powerless person and deals with that person to the powers at be on their behalf, representing them like an attorney, like a good lawyer. You go into court and you need an advocate. So there's two parts here that this advocate helper can speak with great grace to you, but also is going to speak the truth to you and tell you what you need to know. Tim Keller, in his commentary, wrote, there's both a harshness and softness about an advocate. There's a toughness and there's a sympathy, an intimacy. That's what a helper advocate is in the Word of God. Well, secondly, we got to answer the question, who's the first helper advocate? Well, you see, if Jesus is going to say that he's going to send the Holy Spirit as another advocate, there's no way to understand what that means unless we ask ourselves who's the first one. And it's pretty clear from the context that Jesus is the first advocate helper. He says, I'm going away. I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. I'm going to come to you in a new sense and send you another helper advocate. We hear in the comfortable words in 1 John, it's actually our one appointed for this week, in 1 John 2:1, my little children, I'm writing this to you so that you would not sin, but if you do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. We have an advocate with the Father, the paraclete, same word. So it's very clear that Jesus is the advocate. So what does it mean to have Jesus' advocacy before the Father? Well, if Jesus Christ is our advocate, and hear me, this is the most important thing in the Christian life. We have to understand this. Because Jesus Christ is our helper advocate assumes three things. The first thing that it assumes is that we are standing before the Father accused guilty. That one day we will all stand accused before the judgment seat of God, and we stand before the court of God accused. And I know when I say that, there's always some gathered not only in person but online who think to themselves, how can you believe that? The answer is because it's so clearly stated in the Word of God, but it's I would like also to appeal to you that your own heart knows it also. Why is it that you can be walking down the street sometime and something will trigger a memory, an old flaw, an old mistake, and it comes back to you like a 72-inch 4K TV that you see at Costco? You know those TVs? You can't miss them. They're 4K. They're so clear. I want one. Why is it that over the years, when I have spent time with people who are dying, I find the thing that they find most troubling dealing with as they get closer to their death is their regrets? Their past, their flaws. They feel like their past is in front of them like a 4K TV. Falsely accused. Why do we struggle with our 4K past? Because our conscience knows there's a courtroom. There is justice with which we will have to deal with. There's a standard which we all know has been violated. A great illustration of this is in Arthur Miller's Death of a Salesman. You know it if you've read it, seen the movie, or seen the play. It's a chilling scene where Willie Loman, the seedy salesman who idolizes his fiercely athletic son, Biff, and Biff idolizes his dad. At one point in the play, Biff discovers that his father is having an affair on his mom and catches his dad in the hotel room. The naked woman just leaves, and there's silence. And it's the most awful part of some literature that you ever see or read. What does Willie do? He turns around to Biff and says, "Now look, son, let's not overemphasize this. When you're older, you'll understand all about these things." Biff is silent, just weeping. Willie doesn't know what to do. So he changes his tune and says, "Biff, get my suitcase. Just forget all about it. I tell you, that's an order. Get my suitcase." Biff looks at him and says, "How could you do this to Mama? Get away from me, you liar," and just runs out. Willie is left on the floor crying out to Biff, saying, "Come back here. I'll whip you. I'll beat you. Get back here." And we know from the play that Biff goes off, never goes to college, never achieves anything. His life is a waste. He's just a homeless drifter. All because he's so disillusioned. Now, what's so awful about that, and why that sends violent chills through us, is here you have Willie Loman. Like most of us, he has his indiscretions, he has flaws, he fudges, he cuts corners, and all along he makes excuses. Until one day, he's absolutely exposed. Because two innocent eyes are looking right at him. Pure and innocent. And before the eyes of an absolute, pure, and innocent person, all of Willie's excuses fall apart. And the reason that it sends a violent chill all over us is because when we see that, is because we know there actually are a pair of eyes looking at us as well. And they're absolutely fair, and they're absolutely honest, and we can't stand before them with the excuses that we always speak to ourselves to justify ourselves, because they'll just fall apart, and we know it. Think about that for a minute. Unless there are a pair of eyes like that, pure and honest and absolutely fair, unless there's some eyes like that, what hope is there for the universe? For justice? For good triumph over evil? What hope is there for us? There is a justice with which we all have to deal. There's a court before which we all stand accused, and we know it. How else can you explain your own heart and how it operates? That's the first thing Jesus as our helper, advocate assumes. The second thing is, if he's our Savior and Lord, if we've received him as our Savior and Lord, he stands before you, representing you before those eyes. That's the second thing it assumes. He's the one who's being scrutinized. He's the one who stands there with you as your helper advocate. In a court, an advocate is your defense attorney. That defense attorney is eloquent, trained, savvy, polished, fair to you. And in the courtroom, you're really quietly not seen. It's just your representative, your advocate. You're lost in your advocate. Your advocate's success is imputed to you. Your advocate's failure is imputed to you. That's the nature of advocacy. And the Word of God tells us, before the judgment seat of God, before those eyes, everyone in this room knows, either implicitly or explicitly, Jesus Christ stands and he represents you. Aren't you glad? Thirdly, The advocacy helper also finally assumes Jesus doesn't just stand there, but he stands up there with a rock solid case like any good lawyer, saying to you, I got you. I grew up not in a Christian family. And so from my childhood to the time I came to Christ at 19, 20 years old, I was thinking that Jesus, when I heard all these Christian words and vocabulary, Jesus is our high priest, I'm like, oh great, that's super. Jesus going to the Father every Sunday as I'm driving to church, you know, thinking, Father, here's Gene Sherman again. You created him. You've kept him alive every minute, and he knows that. He owes you everything. He should build his whole life around you, but he doesn't. He should love you with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. He should love his neighbor as himself, but he doesn't. Father, he's had a really bad week. He doesn't come from a believing background. Cut him some slack here. Give him a break one more time for my sake. I thought that's what Jesus was doing. Honestly, I thought he was some high-priced New York lawyer. Who can afford those guys? I thought. Because the idea that Jesus, I didn't have this category of a helper advocate, you know, as my high priest, it really didn't comfort me. Because I thought to myself, how long can he keep this up? I mean, after all, week after week after week, when is it going to stop and say, Father, just one more time, please? But that's not what the Bible teaches. Jesus Christ, as our advocate, does not try to get sympathy. A good defense attorney tries to say, this is the law, and he makes a case for the accused. Jesus Christ goes before the throne of the Father and says, here are my brothers and my sisters. Yes, they've lied. Yes, they've been selfish. Yes, they've stolen. Yes, they've committed fornication. Yes, they've been adulterous. Yes, they've murdered. Yes. But Father, I've paid it all. Your law is law. Your law says the only way to pay these debts is through death and blood, where here it is. Here's my body and my blood. I've made the full payment. Therefore, I ask for acquittal for my clients. As a matter of fact, Father, I don't just ask, I demand it. It's been paid. I've lived in their place. I died in their place. Father, I don't ask for mercy for my clients. I ask for justice. Rock solid case. That's what we have. I mean, every other worldview and religion, there's the scales. Here's God and his perfection. Here's me and my works. I've got to get them up to at least they're balanced, right? I'm doomed. Doesn't work. What an incredible burden with no assurance. Don't you see? Here's the mystery and wonder of the ages, that if Jesus Christ becomes your helper advocate, the only time, the only way, the only place, the most incredible thing, the greatest irony in history, now the justice of God is on your side of the scale. Because he says, we got this for you. I have lived the perfect life for them, Heavenly Father. I'm their advocate. I died the death they should have died. It's what it means to be a Christian, brothers and sisters, to place trust in that advocacy. You know, so many people went up to Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, and he would ask them and say, are you a Christian? And they said, well, I certainly am trying. He would say, that's when you know that they don't get it. It's a wonderful example. If there's any one of us here today that said, well, I've really tried my best at this. I've lived a good life. At least I'm better than a lot of other people. I don't, you know, God owes me something, at least a little something, right? If you believe that, if you're mad because you feel like God owes you something, or God should have answered your prayer, or you're better than some others, you've never retained him as your helper advocate. You've not entered into a relationship with him as your attorney. Or if you think all this talk about righteousness and judgment and all this is ridiculous, and you say, God doesn't punish people, my God is a God of love, you've also never retained Jesus as your advocate. What it means to be a Christian is to say, I see I will never be able to stand up before those eyes. I know only Jesus Christ can. I also know I've been trying to be my own advocate. That's why I can't receive constructive criticism. That's why I'm destroyed when my job goes bad or people talk about me, whatever it might be. That's the reason why I get so upset when I'm wrong, because I'm trying to be my own advocate. Lord Jesus, be my advocate, my helper. Till that happens, he may be your model, your example, but he's not your savior. Friends, when Jesus Christ is only your model and only your example, that's the most discouraging possible position to be in, quite frankly. All that does is make you feel terrible. You can't possibly live up to Jesus' standard, right? That's a crushing burden, but as an advocate helper, knowing all those great things he did in your place, parakaleo, it's freedom. Absolute freedom. That's our first helper advocate. The second helper advocate, Jesus Christ comes and says, I'm sending you another advocate. Now you can see what the real job of the Holy Spirit is. He says, the Holy Spirit's job is to remind us everything that Jesus has taught us in his word. He's going to show you that I'm in the Father and you're in me and I in you. So let me ask you a question. Look at your life right now. The disappointments. Maybe something's gone wrong in your career. Something's gone wrong with something you've really put a lot of hopes in. Why are you so crushed by it? Why are you so worried about it? Because you know that if this failed, there'd be no meaning in your life. When your self-esteem is shattered by an event, that means all your self-esteem was riding on that event. And what that means is that was your case before the Father. That means you're trying to be your own advocate. You were saying before those two perfect eyes, I've been a good mother. I've been a good father. I've given to the poor. I've gone to church. When any of these things I trust in fall down, I go crazy. Why? Because I'm being an advocate for myself. I feel exposed. You may have been going to church for years, and yet you feel in a certain area, I'm so guilty, I can never face God again. I can't face the church again. You may believe in a general way about Jesus being your advocate, but you really haven't embraced him as such, haven't applied it to your heart. J.I. Packer said, the Holy Spirit is like a floodlight. You don't ever stare at a floodlight. You stare at the object that the floodlight illumines. If you stare at the floodlight for any extended period of time, you'll go blind. All of us put glasses on for the eclipse, right? I hope. It's the same principle. All right? The Holy Spirit comes and says, look at Jesus. Look at the first advocate. See what he's done. You see, we have two advocates, one on the outside and one on the inside. The inside advocate comes alongside of us and says, look, I love you. Stop being stupid. All right? There's an advocate, grace and truth. Haven't you had a person like that in your life? I had a lot, because I was stupid. You're in kind of a mess. A person comes alongside of you and starts to talk to you and show you how much he loves you. But you have to stop this. It's killing you. The incredible combination of grace and truth makes it impossible for you to really get out from under what he's saying. It's marvelous when you have somebody like that. You have incredible opportunity to grow under people like that. And what Jesus is saying to each and every one of us is today is you have a person like that. The day you make Jesus Christ your helper advocate, on that day, recognize that on the outside, the Holy Spirit becomes your advocate on the inside. He comes inside and says, I know you're bitter, but how can you be bitter? Look at Jesus. Look at all he's done for you. Look at the glory. Look at his mercy. The more he shows you Christ, the more you're able to forgive. Or maybe you're worried. The Holy Spirit comes along and says, look at Jesus Christ. Look at all he's done. Look at his provision. Trust him. And you begin to trust him. And the Holy Spirit, your helper advocate on the inside, is talking to you about Jesus Christ. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the second advocate who tells you continually and constantly about the first. That's how you know the Holy Spirit is in your life, because you find in the past, talking about Christ and reading about Christ and praying wasn't that important to you. But now it's your very life. It's the mark of the Holy Spirit in your life that says, look to Jesus. Don't look to me. See his glory. Listen to his word. Know his joy. So in closing, there are two kinds of people in this room. On the one hand, you have folks who may have realized by now the reason that they're so downcast or don't succeed in an area is because Jesus Christ is really not your helper and advocate. You're your own advocate. In order to make him your advocate, you have to, number one, admit that there are two holy eyes looking at you when you stand accused. Secondly, you've been trying to be your own advocate, and that's the reason you can't take constructive criticism. It's why you fail in dealing with life in general. And third, you have to say to Jesus, be my advocate. I need this. That's the only way the Holy Spirit will come into your life. Don't ask the Holy Spirit to come into your life. Ask Jesus to be your advocate, and the Holy Spirit will come into your life. Because the Holy Spirit is another advocate. He's not the first one. Don't ask for some weird spiritual power of the Spirit. Ask for Jesus, and he'll give you the power of his Spirit. I will come inside. That's the first group. The second group are the Christian friends here. Some of you may be discouraged in life because you're forgetting to look at life through this doctrine. Maybe somebody's been criticizing you lately. Maybe it isn't quite fair. But part of it is right, and so it hurts. Or maybe, you know, you're the one at work who gets caught. Everybody else is slacking. So you slack off and you're the one that gets caught. Or you're in school and you're the one that gets caught. Or some of the habits that are starting to catch up to you. Instead of thinking about all the injustice of it, you know what you need to do? You need to look out there in your life and you need to say, If I really have trusted in my Jesus helper advocate and I have the Holy Spirit in me and these things keep happening to me, maybe the Holy Spirit's trying to speak to me about my faults. You see, because of course he's going to show me what's wrong with me and where I need to change. Here I am upset about this constructive criticism or upset about these injustices. But Holy Spirit, my Lord, my trusted counselor, encourager, and advocate, are you the one talking to me right now? Holy Spirit, help me to sit down, read the Word of God. Help me to spend time in prayer. Help me to write some things down in the insight. Speak to me, great advocate in heaven. Lord Jesus, show me how you have covered everything. Show me what I have to do to change into being a new wineskin, not an old, hardened, brittle. What do you think the Holy Spirit will say to that? Of course. What have you been waiting for? That's why I'm here. So, brothers and sisters, if life is struggling right now, if you forget to see, the Spirit is always going to be showing you the truth in love. Stop being so angry. Start realizing it might be your helper advocate speaking to you. Verse 27, I will send you another helper, the Spirit of truth, and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning grateful that we have this great word that helps us to truly have power for living. And I pray that as we come to the table, we would consider and ponder how you would have us respond to this. We pray everybody in this room would consider what it means to make you, Holy Spirit, our helper advocate. O Lord Jesus Christ, our helper advocate. There are some people here, perhaps, who need to make Jesus their advocate helper. And I pray you would enable to do that right now. That there are some people here who belong to you, Lord Jesus Christ, but they're not listening to your Holy Spirit, who's continually saying, use the advocacy of Jesus Christ. See the advocacy of Jesus Christ. Stop your worry. Be open to constructive criticism. Drop your grudges. Don't be discouraged. He has conquered all. For Father, all of us need to hear this. So work in us, so that we can know the joy of those who know Jesus as their Savior and Lord and advocate, and the Holy Spirit as our helper, advocate, and friend. For we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.